Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our quarter three analyst briefing. My name is Judd. I'm joined here today by my team, Jana handling AEV and Aristo handling AP. I'd like to introduce you to our presenters this afternoon. From left to right, we have Mr. Daniel Aboitiz, President and COO of Aboitiz Powers Oil Group. We have Mr. Cesar Ilagan, Senior Vice President for Corporate Planning of Union Bank. We have Mr. Sabin Aboitiz, CEO of Pilmico, and also COO of Aboitiz Equity Ventures. We have Mr. Andoni Aboitiz, CEO of Aboitiz Land. We have also Mr. Roman Asanza, First Vice President of Aboitiz Infra Capital. And finally, Mr. Dimi Lozano, CFO of Aboitiz Equity Ventures. With us in the audience, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Ms. Lisa Montelimano, CFO of Aboitiz Power. We also have Ms. Beverly Tolentino, CFO of Aboitiz Power Generation Group. We have Ms. Ria Calleja, AVP for Reputation Management of Aboitiz Power. And Ms. Leia De La Cruz of Union Bank's Investor Relations. From the AEV Corporate Center, we have also May Peñalosa of the Treasury Group, Sandro Aboitiz, and Samel Aboitiz over here in the front. For this afternoon's briefing, we will present the 9-month performance of AEV's strategic business units. We will begin with banking and financial services, then food, then land, then infrastructure, and finally, power. Afterwards, we will present the consolidated financial results of AEV and then hold a Q&A session. And now for our presentations, may I call on Mr. Cesar Ilagan to do the briefing on Union Bank.
Thank you, Jude. Good afternoon.
Our net income for the third quarter of the year was at 4.2 billion, which brought our year-to-date earnings to 8.1 billion, more than double of what was posted a year ago of 3.7 billion. The key driver for the strong performance was the robust expansion in loans and securities portfolio, which propelled the double-digit growth of recurring income, that is net interest income and fees, across the board. Furthermore, the third quarter result was enhanced by the profits from securities sold to support the bank's loan growth strategy. For the net interest income, you will see a 25% increase for the 9-month period. It reached all the way to 10.9 billion, and this was caused by a 31% expansion in loans and 30% expansion in securities portfolio, respectively, and improvement in net interest margin. You will see on the lower right side corner of the screen our earning assets expanding by 16%, most of it being composed of loans, which grew 31%, as mentioned earlier. And then on the, overall, the increase was 16% earning assets. On the left side, you'll see that the yields actually improved from 4.83% in the same period last year to 5.04% this year, 9 months. The cost was kept flat at about 1.25-26%, which brought up our net interest margin by about 19 basis points from 3.59 to 3.78. I mentioned that the loan and securities portfolio have grown, and you will see on the screen our credit portfolio growing by 29% to 191 billion. The retail component of that was 80 billion, which grew 16%, and then this was followed by a 52% growth in corporate, actually, this was the highest growth area. And then finally, the commercial loans. For the securities, most of our securities today are in the category of held to collect, which means we do not trade them, we do not mark them to market. So we had 109 billion of those HTC securities. And if you include the fair value of the securities, that's a total of 113 billion. And this.
There's a lot of people coming in the seats. Yeah. You want us to vacate our seats?
No, no, I don't.
I can't, I just stand up.
Okay, but I have a question for some
Nevertheless, it is worth noting that the bank's fee income continues to post robust growth of 24% during the third quarter and 16% the first 9 months of the year. The service fees and charges rose mainly because of higher loan releases of our city savings, and the growth in miscellaneous income was mainly due to foreclosure of assets and trust fund income. For our deposits, we achieved a 19% growth in total deposits to 331 billion. Union Bank is the bulk of that. In blue, that's 286 billion, which had a 20% growth. And the subsidiaries, which is mainly City Savings, had a 15% growth. Now, if we focus on CASA deposits, we see a 17% growth between the two periods in the years. The blue is the peso deposits, which had 16%, and the FCDU had 17% growth. The growth was due to the continued trust by management to push our cash management products. For capital adequacy, we have maintained our levels, which are higher than the regulatory requirement. For total CAR, we grew from 16.41% to 16.68% from year to year. And then on the Tier 1 capital, that's from 13.16% to 13.74%. As a result of our profitability performance during the period, our return on equity increased to 18.2% from a year ago and 2.5% for the return on assets. These are based on average assets. Whereas the cost-to-income ratio actually improved from 55% to 46%. We are showing here the stock performance of the bank. This is rebased, meaning this is really indexed, both for the bank and for the rest of the listed companies. And you will see the orange graph growing by 45%. Being the highest in growth for the period shown on the graph. Second highest, second only to one peer bank, which was another bank, Security. We, of course, outperformed the rest of the industry. That's it. That's the report for our third quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ilagan. May I now call on Mr. Sabin Aboitiz to do the briefing on PhilMico.
Mayong hapon. For PhilMico, for the third quarter, the food group revenue was up 4% from last year. The revenue increases in farms and feeds Philippines more than offset the decline of our flour and feeds Vietnam revenues. Flour dropped 15% to just under 5 billion due to a lower average selling price. The wheat market, meaning the raw material worldwide, has dropped, so therefore our prices here dropped also. We also have a shift in sales in favor of a lower priced fighting brand for flour. Feeds Philippines had higher revenue. We were up 23% to almost 9 billion. So higher volume and better selling prices. Feeds Vietnam had a decline of about 13% to about 2.4 billion. 9% drop in volume and 5% lower selling price. 2015 was really a very good year for Vietnam, so things are normalizing. The farms, we had an increase of 14% to 1.5 billion in sales. 20% of that was the increase in volume, which is, as you know, we are increasing our sow levels up to 14,000 by mid-2017. So we expect to continue having higher volumes of swine. This is despite a reduction of 8% in the selling price. The EBITDA has more or less the same story, up 5% or to 2.5 billion. Again, the stellar performance of Feeds Philippines, which mitigated the underperformance of farms and Feeds Vietnam. Flour EBITDA, flat at 910 million. Lower selling price, but higher income on our byproduct, which is about 25% of the volume. So the byproduct price remained steady, but the input dropped. Feeds Philippines, EBITDA performance remains stellar at 20% increase to 1.1 billion EBITDA. Higher sales volumes for both Luzon and the Vismin, and an improvement in our margins due to a better sales mix. Our Vietnam operations had a lower EBITDA, dropped by 36% to 101 million. Again, weaker sales volumes and a squeeze in margins due to selling prices, but still on track to our plan when we actually put the investment in there. Our farms EBITDA, 4% lower to 371 million. Lower farm gate prices again, and higher fixed cost on our meats initiatives. Our meat initiative is already about 20%+ of our volume, so we're seeing that we are now selling, instead of selling all live swine, we are getting into and selling more of cuts already. We want to increase that to about 50% in the next 3 to 4 years. Food Group NIAT is about the same, slipped 1% to about 1.4 billion. And again, the same story across. Flour about the same, Feeds Philippines 18% higher, Vietnam about 70 million, and our farms NIAT lower by about 33%. The operating units, flour, 6% growth in volume, mainly driven by export. So another diversification we're doing now of our total volume of flour today, about a little over 10% is already on exports. So we have 600 million people around the ASEAN to sell flour to. Why stick to the 100 million people in the Philippines? That's our direction moving forward. So far, we are selling in Hong Kong, Myanmar, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Malaysia. Our selling prices in the Philippines went down from 810 to about 650 per bag due to, again, lower wheat prices worldwide, meaning therefore bringing down our raw material cost. Wheat prices are trading at 10-year lows today. So this brings down the import and brings down also the price of imported flour. So this created the pressure to the domestic flour. Our feeds volumes, again, large increase, 15% increase of 42,000 metric tons. Our increase in volume, but we maintained our margin. that there was only a drop of 0.5%, so more or less the same. Vietnam had lower prices because of aggressive pricing of competitors. We also expanded the Vietnam mill to double its capacity and therefore have to produce more to make up. Our farms volume, 20% growth in farms, again going to the 14,000 expansion, our sow level expansion. Our GP per kilo is slashed about 10 pesos per kilo due to selling prices. 8% growth in commercial farming, 2% growth in backyard farming. Meat accounts, 29% of our total volume. So you're seeing that we're moving, we're on track to moving into more of the retail markets. So the next slide, you see about updates of where we are in our plant expansion. Last year and this year was a major, we had expansions in everything we did, including our farms. So more or less, I'll just skip through them quickly. We are pretty much on budget and on time in our expansions and almost 100% complete. It should be all done by the mid-2017. By mid-2017, we will start producing about 270,000 market hogs per year, or 27 million kilos. In 2014, we started again the meat cutting, and we just approved a meat fabrication plant that we will start. That we are starting to bring in now. So we break ground in a AAA slaughter facility, about a 700 million peso investment and 180 heads per hour capacity, to be able to including not only cut meats for the Philippines, but also for export. We see this to be operational by July 2018. So Pilmico slowly moving into other parts of the food chain. We are categorized now today as an agribusiness in the beginning of the food chain. So any increase in food consumption in the country or outside directly affects our volumes and our profits. So we just a little bit, you know, today we gave you a few packages of these care package. The Philippines is the fourth most disaster-prone country in the world. In the last 20 years, over 250 calamities have struck our nation and affected millions of our families. And this, again, reality emphasizes the need for better disaster preparedness and relief measures. So today we're introducing the CARE package, which is an efficient disaster relief solution for NGOs, companies and governments, government agencies that do not address hunger but also provide adequate nutrition. The CARE package's innovation is Pilmico's high energy biscuits, which contains 450 calories per pack and is equivalent to one full meal. These biscuits provide all the necessary nourishment and energy a person needs without sacrificing taste. The formulation of the CARE package followed the nutritional requirements by the World Food Program. So aside from its nutritional value, each CARE package is ready to eat, easy to transport, and easy to stack. So we will now start pre-positioning these packages ahead of time in the disaster areas that we see coming before the typhoons hit. So we are able to, without cooking, we're able to provide, us and other foundations are able to provide full meals to children and adults the same, to be able to instantly nourish themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. May now call on Mr. Andoni Aboitis to do the briefing on Aboitis Land.
Hi, good afternoon for Aboitis Land. Our revenues for third quarter 2016 remained flat, mainly because of the drop in industrial revenues. While we have sold our target 20 hectares, we are unable to recognize the sales, and the same shall be done next year. The dip has been offset by growth in residential and commercial revenues, which grew by 23 and 19% respectively, thus basically flattening out the third quarter 2016 revenue. Our residential sales continue to grow. To date, we have a 45% growth over the same period last year. The housing products in the mid-market are doing quite well, and our lot products in the high-end markets are also top growth drivers for ourselves. So for the third quarter, we closed with 1.5 billion in sales versus last year's just over a billion in sales. As you can see, the house and lot component dominates the sales for 2016. However, our EBITDA and NIAT dropped by 32 and 44% respectively, mainly as we continue to invest in the organization by expanding the teams and getting the company ready for launches and growth in 2017 and beyond. We've invested in computer systems and other processes, again, to get us in a better position to actually deliver on a much larger scale of projects in the future. So our NIAT for third quarter 2016 versus last year has a significant drop of 44% to 149 million pesos. For our third quarter business highlights, by far our most exciting event has been the launch of outlets at Lipa. The outlets at Lipa will be the Philippines' first outlet village offering brand names at significant discounts. The next slide is an image of what the village will look like. It is fully meant to address and deliver a very unique shopping experience with restaurants, discount shops, family activities, and the like. Construction is in full swing, and we formally actually will break ground tomorrow. And we are targeting to open the second half of 2017 before the Christmas season. We've been receiving a lot of interest from prospects and the general public constantly through social media and the like. So I hope to see you all next year for your pre-Christmas shopping. For other highlights for the third quarter are, as mentioned earlier, for the residential, our sales continues to perform consistently well, beating last year's year-on-year targets by a significant margin. We continue to build it and develop our already launched projects. And however, we've had to delay some project launches from the third quarter to the first half of 2017. The outlets at Pueblo Verde in Mactan, Cebu are nearing full capacity in its first year in operations, thus giving us the confidence that the outlets at Lipa will be a success. To date, we've met our target of 20 hectares sold for industrial and have acquired 15 hectares for future expansion. Gatewalk, our joint venture with Ayala Land, is under construction. The most visible construction and the most progress is being made in groundworks for the mall, of which Landmark will be the anchor. We're in the final planning phases for three new projects in Luzon and two new projects in Cebu, of which we target to launch in the first quarter of 2017. For our CapEx, we are a little behind in spending what we budgeted for, mainly due to our inability to acquire land as quickly as possible and due to as well as the postponement of launches. So we subsequently have to postpone some CapEx into 2017. Okay, that's my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. May I now call on Mr. Roman Asanza to do the briefing on our Aboitiz InfraCap.
Good afternoon, everyone. Our investment in RCBM, Republic Cement and Building Materials, performed well in the first 9 months of the year on the back of steady demand, steady market demand. In our medium to high-rise segment, building construction was fueled by strong demand in office and commercial spaces. In our individual home builder segment, steady residential sector construction and repairs were supported by OFW remittances, a low interest rate mortgage lending environment, as well as a consumption-driven economy at the moment. Lastly, in our roads and infrastructure segment, the newest one, government and election-related spending and projects such as roads and other public facilities drove solid growth in our volumes. So on the back of these positive results, RCBM's contribution to AAV amounted to 1.3 billion pesos in the first 9 months of the year. We move to our water project in Davao. Apo Agua Infrastructura is our infrastructure group's maiden foray into the dynamic water space. Apo Agua aims to supply an average of 300 MLD, or a million liters per day, of treated bulk water to the Davao City Water District, one of the country's best performing water districts. We are currently focused on obtaining the local and national permits required in order to commence the construction of the project. We already obtained an endorsement from the Davao City Council, and as well as various other permits from various relevant regulatory agencies. We also continue to roll out stakeholder engagement programs in order to ensure the support of communities directly affected by the project. We expect to commence the design and engineering phase of the project by early next year, with construction expected to begin later in that same year, ultimately targeting first water by late 2019. We move on to the PPP pipeline. As we all know, PPP infrastructure projects remain a key area of opportunity for our growing infrastructure franchise. The Duterte administration has clearly stated its intention to spend over 7 trillion pesos nationwide from 2017 to 2022 in order to tackle the country's infrastructure backlog. On the back of this, we intend to focus on the following projects in the near term. The regional bundled airports on the left. So the DOTR recently announced that it will resume the auction for the regional airports and targets bid submission before year end. We are gearing up for what is likely to be a very competitive bid for these airport assets. As you may know, the DOTR will bid out 30-year concessions for the Bacolod, Iloilo, Lagindingan, and Davao airports, and a 35-year concession for the new Bohol airport in Panglao. For this particular bid, we have teamed up with Vinci Airports, one of the world's leading airport operators, we look forward to the bid by end of year. With regard to LRT2, the east-west line, the purple line here, the DOTR announced their plan to expand the scope of the LRT2 project to include the construction of the west extension from Recto to Pier 4. It's about 3 kilometers of elevated line. The bidding process is expected to restart after getting the necessary approvals from the different agencies such as NEDA on the said change in project scope. The DOTR has also said that it hopes to fast-track the project approval process in order for the bid to come to market by mid-next year. We have teamed up with the SMRT train group of Singapore for this particular project. Now going forward, as the pipeline of PPP projects comes to market, we expect to be active participants in the government's further push for these game-changing infrastructure opportunities and projects around the country. That's it from infrastructure.
Thank you, Mr. Sansa. And now I would like to call on Mr. Danel Aboitiz to do the briefing on Aboitiz Power.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Aboitiz Power's earnings for the first 9 months of 2016 grew by 24% versus the same period last year, with a net income of 15 billion, equivalent to an EPS of 2.05 per share. The generation business group contributed 12 billion in the first three quarters, up by 26% year on year. However, please note that we expect this growth to narrow in the fourth quarter for the following reasons. We already had TSI Unit 1 operating in the fourth quarter of 2015. We had increased inflows as a result of Typhoon Lando and Nona in the fourth quarter of last year, and APRI's income tax holiday expired mid-June this year. The distribution business group, on the other hand, contributed $2.9 billion, 11% higher than last year. Core income expanded 17% to $15.2 billion year-on-year after stripping away the effects of non-core transaction, which include both unrealized losses and unrealized gains due to Forex movements and parents' recognition of step-up acquisition gains net of write-offs. Core earnings from the generation business amounted to $12.5 billion, 20% higher year-on-year. This was largely driven by Thermasal's new contributions. Our distribution business group posted a double-digit growth of 11%, mainly due to better results from Davao Light and Visayan Electric. In terms of quarterly performance, AP's third quarter core earnings came in at $5.4 billion, which is 6% than the preceding quarter and 11% higher than the same period last year. Our cash generation continues to be strong, as year-to-date beneficial EBITDA stood at $29.3 billion, up by 16% versus the same period last year. The generation business group posted $24.6 billion in beneficial EBITDA, surged to 18% year-on-year, driven by the EBITDA contributions coming from the full commercial operations of Units 1 and 2 of Thermasal. Meanwhile, the distribution business group's beneficial EBITDA went up by 9% to $4.5 billion. The increase came from stronger performance of Davao Light and Visayan Electric during the period due to higher distribution revenues. This mitigated the unfavorable effect of the shift in supply mix. Moving to our consolidated balance sheet. As of the end of September 30, 2016, we registered a cash level of $65.5 billion. Meanwhile, our interest-bearing debt went up to $148 billion, mainly due to the $12.5 billion climate bond issued in support of our growth plans. Total consolidated assets stood at $281 billion, 16% higher than year-end 2015 level of $242.5 billion. Debt ratios still remained healthy, with the current ratio and net debt-to-equity ratio registering at 3.1 and 0.8 times, respectively. Moving on to the generation business group's operating highlights. Capacity sales grew by 9% year-on-year. This was again due to the increase in capacity from our Thermasal. The group's year-to-date capacity sold factor, on the other hand, dropped to 82%, mainly due to lower capacity sold factors at our hydro plants, which were affected by El Nino and planned outages of the second unit of Pagbilao. Total energy sales grew by 12% to 10,308 gigawatt hours versus the same period last year. This was mainly driven by new sales coming from Davao Coal Plant and higher Magat Dam elevation at the start of the year. Meanwhile, ancillary sales volumes were unchanged year on year as the decline in the volume sold from the large hydros was offset by strong sales volumes from Thermal Luzon. On the water levels, Magat ended the period south of the rule curve at an elevation of 171. Unfortunately, the expected La Niña did not materialize and low water inflow was recorded at the Magat watershed, particularly during the third quarter. However, recent monitoring showed that as of this morning, Magat's full. Magat's water level was already within the rule curve at 192 with a rule curve of 188. Looking forward, we expect a neutral condition. We expect normal hydrology for the rest of 2016 and the entire 2017. On prices, our bilaterals average price declined from 435 a kilowatt hour to 429 due to the decline in fuel-related indices and variables. Realized average spot likewise went down to 327 per kilowatt hour from 462 as year-on-year TWAP declined by 24% to 278. As a result, the generation group's average selling price declined by 4% to 4 pesos 21. Let me now discuss the distribution business group. Beneficial power sales were up by 8% to 3818 gigawatt hours. The growth was largely driven by Visayan Electric, Cotabato Light, and San Fernando Light and Power. Meanwhile, we saw power sales growing across all customer segments, 11% for residential, 9% for commercial, and 6% for industrial. The group's gross margins declined from 1 peso 64 per kilowatt hour to 1.59. This was due to the under-recoveries brought about by a shift in supply mix. Meanwhile, the system's loss levels of all our distribution utilities remained well below the regulatory cap for privately owned utilities of 8.5%. Just a quick update before I end. Early this month, we announced that we were the preferred bidder for the GN Power Mariveles and Dinginin assets. There will be a more detailed discussion on this in a while. A week ago, we also signed a construction contract with Azul Torre, a supply contract with Doosan Heavy Industries for the construction of 2 300 megawatt units of coal-fired in Subic. We hope to start construction soon. This is projected to come online by 2020. To finish, our beneficial capex spent during the period in review amounted to 22.2 billion, with the bulk spent on Cebu Coal, Pagbilao 3, and Manolo Fortich hydro projects. Let me now turn you over to our CFO, Dimmy, for more on GN Power. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Danel. So as Danel mentioned, and it's announced in the papers, we were the preferred bidder for the GN Power assets. Our subsidiary, or AP subsidiary, ThermaPower, entered into a purchase and sale agreement with the Blackstone Group for the proposed acquisition of the latter's effective 66.1% and 40% interests in GMCP and GNPD, respectively. This transaction is currently being reviewed by the Philippine Competition Commission and also the Board of Investments. We consider this proposed acquisition quite strategic for us, as this will provide immediate cash flows from the existing Mariveles plant and also attractive expansion opportunities from the two units of Dinginin. The unit one is already under construction, and unit two will be partially de-risked, as a lot of the shared facilities will already be part of unit one's construction. The proposed acquisition cost is approximately 1.2 billion. And this will be funded by a combination of cash, internal cash, as well as financing from a group of foreign banks. Our price here also includes what AP believes to be a return of capital, as well as a share in GMCP's future cash flows, which are quite good. So let's look at the assets that we're buying. The first one is GN Power Mariveles, so this GMCP. It's a subcritical coal-fired plant which came online in 2014 and has a net sellable capacity of 604 megawatts. Currently, 94% of the plant's capacity is offtake is under long-term bilateral contracts with good B-plus rated or better utilities. We believe GMCP's position in the merit order, being one of the lowest cost marginal cost plants in the Luzon grid, leaves it favorably positioned to recontract or sell into the WESM well beyond the life of these existing contracts. There's been issues in the past before that have come out in the news, so we've looked at this quite closely. But through the efforts of the existing partners and the management team of GN, the availability has improved significantly since its COD in 2014. Driven by major rework and continuing system upgrades. In 2014, as you can see here, availability was around 60% due to some of the teething issues that they were facing. In 2015, average availability improved to 70%. This even reached above 90% after the final warranty outage in the first quarter of 2015. Year to date, the availability stands at around 77%, and this already is inclusive of the first quarter outage, the yearly planned outage that they have. We expect it to be better than this by the end of the year. So you can see quite steady improvement from 60% to 70%,
and close to 80% in 2016. Looking forward, we believe the plant will be at par with similar coal plants operating at world-class standards in terms of availability and reliability. We are confident that the system upgrades and reworks have and will continue to improve plant reliability and availability moving forward. The other part of what we're buying here really is GN Power Dinginin. So this is the expansion that we're talking about. GNPD is a 2x688 megawatt coal plant that will utilize supercritical technology. Unit 1 is already under construction and estimated completion is within 2019. As we speak, Unit 1 is already 70% contracted via long-term bilaterals, and we anticipate more contracts to be signed as we approach COD. By the way, most of these contracts are in the 20-year range. In addition, GNPD provides us with a partially de-risked expansion opportunity. As taking off from the synergies created with Unit 1, the cost to build Unit 2 will be significantly lower, as most of the shared facilities will already be in place with Unit 1's construction. So we look forward to completing the PCC process and beginning work with GN over the next few months. We'll move on now to AEV's consolidated results. AEV's consolidated revenues for the third quarter of 2016 increased by 6% to 31 billion. Year-to-date revenues increased by 4% to 87 billion year-on-year. Aside from fresh revenue contribution from PetNet, Headcor Sabangan, and Therma South, this is also driven by strong growth in both residential and commercial sectors for the distribution utilities in Visayas and Mindanao, which have led to the increase in the DU revenues, and the growth of commercial farms and feeds industries, which led to increase in volume from our feeds business in the Philippines and farms business. Equity earnings almost doubled for both the third quarter and the nine-month results at 3 billion and 7 billion respectively, largely due to Union Bank's increase in net interest income and profits from the sale of securities, as well as fresh equity earnings contribution from Republic Cement. Consequently, AEV registered a consolidated EBITDA of 13 billion for the quarter and 36 billion for the first 9 months, 29% and 27% up respectively. Consolidated net income surged by 61% to 7 billion for the quarter and by 44% to 17 billion for the 9 months. On top of fresh contribution for Republic Cement, strong results from power and banking units led to this big jump. Core net income stands at around 7 billion for the quarter and 17 billion for the 9 months. We'll move on to a little bit more detail. On the net income side, AEV strategic business units account, AP accounted for 63% of the consolidated net income for the 9 months, compared to the same period last year where it contributed 76%. This was followed by banking and the financial services business units, which contributed 22%. And PILMICO and RCBM both contributed approximately 7% each. The consolidated income statements show that the increase in NIAT is attributed to the following: higher operating profits due to the fresh income contribution of Therma South this year, and the growth in margins of TLI and the majority of the distribution utilities. Also, higher equity earnings due to the fresh income contribution of Republic Cement and growth in earnings of Union Bank. This increase is partially offset by the rise in interest expense owing to the higher debt levels of the business units compared to last year. So bottom line, for the first 9 months, net income of 17 billion translates to an EPS of 3 pesos and 5 centavos versus last year's 2 pesos and 14 centavos. Moving on to the core net income, for this period, AEV recognized a non-recurring loss of 17 million pesos. The bulk came from net foreign exchange loss generated from the revaluation of consolidated dollar-denominated assets and liabilities, mainly with Therma Luzon. Netting out the non-recurring items, AEV's core net income for the period is at 17 billion, which is 37% higher year on year. This translates to an EPS of about 3 pesos and 6 centavos.
Consolidated EBITDA for the 9 months of 2016 increased by 36 billion, 27% higher than the same period last year, while beneficial EBITDA increased by 34% to 33 billion. The increase in consolidated and beneficial EBITDA is due to fresh EBITDA contribution of TSI, RCBM, as well as the higher EBITDA contributions of the distribution power, the distribution units from Power, Union Bank, and Pilmico. At the parent level, net debt increased by 10 billion to 15 billion at the end of the first 9 months. The decrease in net debt, decreased by 10 billion to 15 billion. The decrease in net debt was attributed to the sale of treasury shares that we had a couple of months ago and the dividends collected in 2016. Moving on to the company's position at the end of September 2016, material movements in the balance sheet are as follows. For cash, 21 billion increase was due to cash generated from operations, dividend collection, loan availments, and the sale of 79.5 million treasury shares that exceeded cash used for capex requirements. We also did have some capital infusions and additional share acquisitions over the last 9 months. For total assets, increase was due to the 21 billion rise in PPE from ongoing plant construction. These are quite a few. We have the Davao completion of Therma South in Davao, Therma Visayas in Cebu, Pagbilao expansion, and the Bukidnon Hydro Electric Power Plant in Bukidnon, obviously, and various other business units' capex. Also contributing is a 10 billion increase in investments from the capital infusion into RP Energy. This is the Subic plant that we're working on with Meralco, Sakasan, which is our solar project, and additional purchases of Union Bank shares. Total liabilities increased by 31 billion, mainly driven by long-term debt availment of the power subsidiaries, almost APRI, as well as all of the greenfield projects that we're working on, including ASEA Gas. Equity, on the other hand, increased by 22 billion, mainly due to the 17 billion recorded net NIAT and the 5 billion sale of treasury shares, offset by 5.9 billion cash dividends paid out. Consolidated financial ratios remained quite healthy. Current ratio increased as increase in current asset outpaced the increase in current liabilities. DE ratio went up since the increase in total liabilities were higher than our growth in equity. And the net debt to equity ratio actually went down since the growth in equity outpaced the increase in net debt. This will obviously change with some of these projects that we have, especially if GN Power proceeds. And that's our group presentation. Thank you very much for your attention. And I think we're moving on to the Q&A now. Thank you.
Thank you, Demi. I'd like now to open the floor for questions. So please approach the microphone. When you are recognized, please state your name, the institution you represent, the person you are addressing your question to, and finally your question. So I'd like to encourage everyone to ask all the questions now, because after this briefing, our presenters are going to transfer to another room where a media briefing is going to be held. So the floor is now open for questions. Please approach the microphone. Yes.
I'm Christina Ulang, I'm with First Metro Investment. My question is for Mr. Daniel about his power.
Daniel, on the
two plants that whose selling prices are on the uptrend, I notice it's only Magat and TSI. It's Pagbilao yata. It's Pagbilao. Only those two. I just want to know what's the reason for the uptrend in the selling price, which contrasted with the downtrend compared to the other plants.
Sorry, I'm going to answer your question in two parts, right? So you have, your first question was why the selling price of Magat has gone up.
Yeah, and the
so
other one.
So that's a result of an increase in non-firm regulating reserve. Non-firm prices are higher than firm prices.
Non-firm
regulating reserve. It's an ancillary service for the regulation of system frequency. Sorry, what was the second half of your question?
It's a contract base that's provided by the contract. Is that the explanation? The non-firm is higher.
are a mix of, as we explained before, land sales, ancillary power, and non-firm ancillary rate is lower. Non-firm ancillary rate is lower than firm.
It's higher.
Non-firm is higher than firm. So since you have a shift, you're shifting to the more expensive ancillary. So thereby you're seeing an increase.
Shifting to ancillary.
So there's two kinds of ancillary.
Yeah. A firm and land.
Your offer can be, your contract for ancillary can either be non-firm or firm. So the non-firm is more expensive. So since more of the offers now is shifting to non-firm.
To non-firm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're seeing the increase in
the shift in the offers, yeah. And the other one.
For Therma South, the revenues last year were still under commission. So it was not yet the full contract.
Price.
So it's not really, that's really, the numbers last year really are not reflective of their true rates.
That's not the actual rate. A period of last year was commissioning.
Yes.
So during commissioning, you're not selling at the actual contract.
So this has room to improve. It will improve.
So for 2016, we're already charging the contract for the rates. It's not anymore under commissioning and testing.
Okay. Yeah.
And for MAGAT, we will continue to optimize the mix of ancillary services and bilateral contracts.
Okay. Which is in the current direction towards non-firm?
Optimization is dynamic. It's done continuously. So it's dependent on hydrology, available capacity, and the demand for both BCQ and ancillary services. So the team will continue to optimize that mix, given all those variables.
Okay, and on the expansion, if I recall right, your expansion is like taking off from an existing 2005 megawatt, and you're doubling it in 4 years. But you have this acquisition, GN, in supercritical, which is about 2,000 megawatts. So this is from our life. Are you going to be at the 7,000 megawatt level in 2 years?
Sorry, bear with me in a moment. So in line with our target to reach 4,000 megawatts by 2020, we have a number of projects in the pipeline. We've got 8.5 megawatt Maris project, 68 megawatt Manolo Fortich, 340 Therma Visayas, 420 Pagpilao 3, the RB Energy 600 megawatts that we just mentioned earlier, as well as the 8.8 megawatt biomass plant. That brings us to a beneficial share, attributable capacity of 2577. Then on top of that, we have the GM Power, which was mentioned by Jimmy.
So when GM Power gets added, so in Mariveles, we're 66%.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the 66% of the, and then in GNPD, we're going to be 40%. Our goal is 4,000 megawatts by 2020. Mm-hmm. We expect will be the first unit of GNPD that will be in before 2020. So if you add all those rivers,
so this is the 4,000 is attributable,
yes,
by 2020.
Yes.
In terms of the install, they're going to be about 5,000. Do you have a number in terms of the install?
It could be more than 5,000.
More than
we're 5. Looking at the install. But when we talk about what's relevant to us, is where we get revenues, is basically your beneficial and attributable share. So obviously, we are looking at acquisitions. This is a major one, and we'll have at least the 4,000 megawatt. But it's only the attributable portion, which means roughly, I'm guessing,
3,500.
Yeah.
So,
right now,
you're
at 2,000.
Right now, we're at 2,500. And we will be adding all of these other plants over the next few years. So Therma Visayas, Pagpilao, Manolo Fortich, and hopefully GN Power as well.
And for next year, is there anything similar to Davao Pool? Because your earnings this year was really boosted by Davao Pool, 17% and then 16% AEB, 17%. So next year, is there anything similar to Davao Pool in terms of commissioning?
For next year, you see Manolo Fortis, that should be online by the middle of the year.
Which is how many megawatts?
16.
Then Pagbilao 3, which our shares of 200 megawatts, that's end of the year.
Only 200.
And then the big one will really be in 2018, actually, when we have full year of Pagbilao 3, full year of Manolo Fortis, and you should have TBI in the first half, or it's end of first quarter of the year.
2018. Can I also ask about Union Bank?
GN Power, not GN Power.
GN Power.
Well, assuming that this
is... which is 200 already, or 60% of the
60%
of the 1,600.
600% of 60.
60% of the 600. 66 of the 600. How much of the 1,002?
40%.
But that is just beginning construction. That will take a few years. That will come in around 2020.
So you have a question for Union Bank?
Okay. All right. I was just thinking because Union Bank suddenly had a huge jump in income to 7 billion. And I'm just speculating that maybe you had some one time gain on sale. Is there anything like that? Like an AFS or an HTM that you sold?
Well, yes. As I mentioned, we did sell securities during the quarter, but that was in line with our capital plan for funding the loan growth, the growth in the loan portfolio. We're targeting a very aggressive growth in our loans as well as our securities portfolio, to be able to generate very substantial growth income. And this time, the best way we thought we can fund that, as well as provide the required capital in order, you know, the capital adequacy and all that, is to sell a portion of our held to collect securities. Our business model allows that, the selling of HTC, when the purpose is to take advantage of opportunities for expansion in the loan portfolio.
And that to capital build-up, it's related to the loan expansion. If the purpose of the sale is related to loans, it's justified. It's approved by the regulators.
I'm sorry. You're asking...
So there was, I understand that there was a one-time sale of HTC.
Yes, that's right.
And that is not considered anything. It's approved by the regulator because it's related to loan expansion.
Well, actually, under the PFRS 9 rules, that's the accounting standards that we early adopted in 2014, you classify your securities based on the business model for how you manage securities. So for each portfolio, we have a business model. And the business models involved in the securities that we sold allow the sale of these securities when the purpose is to support a growth in your loan portfolio. It is not a violation of the business model. It's not what we would have called tainting, where we only hold past 39 regime.
Sir, that explains, should I think of it as the process of the sale as explaining the huge growth in the loans? It partly funded the loan growth.
Well,
it
did two things. It funded the purpose is not just the loans this year, but also all the way to the end of next year. So that's the horizon that we were looking at when we made the decision to sell. And the selling did two things. Number one, it of course liquefied the securities into cash that we are able to extend as loans. At the same time, because it allowed us to realize, well, this is an incidental result. When we sold it, there was a gain, and that gain became part of the capital used to support our risk-weighted assets for purposes of computing the capital adequacy ratio.
So is there a number on the current basis? For Union Bank, recurring income.
Are you asking for the recurring income for Union Bank? Well, for the 9-month period, we estimate that out of the 8.1 billion, about 5.7, 5.9 of that is recurring. during that nine-month period.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Christina. Do you have other questions on the floor? Yes, Brian.
Brian Nan from ATR Asset Management. My question is to Cesar of Union Bank. Congratulations on the wonderful result, firstly. I'd like to get some clarity on your 52% loan growth on the corporate portfolio, particularly which sectors were these loans extended to, and do you expect the same trend moving forward to Q4?
Well, the sectors that we extended loans to are varied. Today, did not actually materially change the profile. It was extended to the same sectors that we have been extending loans to. Now, do we expect the same kind of growth? We expect a very ambitious growth in our loan portfolio, both for the corporate as well as the other types of portfolios. I cannot give you a forward-looking projection, but you can be sure it will be very ambitious.
Mm-hmm. And could you comment as well for the retail loan segment? It's a 16% growth, it's a good number, but what are the strategies moving forward for Union Bank to continue this trajectory of growth? Particularly, is it going to be the city savings segment on salary loans?
Yes, city savings will play a part because it is a significant source of growth for us. Consumer loans, the salary loans for teachers. But we also have other consumer loans like the mortgage loans, the credit cards. So they are part of the whole portfolio of retail loans that we are trying to grow aggressively.
Is SME part of the strategy moving forward? Because it seems like it's a smaller portion of the total loan book. But
yes, it is. It is part of the, yes.
And could you also comment on the securities portfolio? It rose by 30%. Is this all in the HTC book?
Most of it is HTC because most of our securities today are classified as HTC.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Do you have other questions on the floor?
Jeremy from RCG Securities. I'd just like to ask two questions regarding the new acquisitions. Where do you source your coal for Mariveles? And what exactly does supercritical coal fire plant mean? And how is it different from the current coal fire power plant?
Well, the GN Power sources actually most of its coal from Indonesia.
And I think we'll continue to do so. In terms of supercritical, it's a relevant distinction. Supercritical generally means it's a larger facility, but the implication of which one is from the emissions point of view, the emissions are much lower than the smaller subcritical plants. So, in fact, the DNR, when they were asking about coal plants, one of the things they're saying the DOE is they're pushing for more supercriticals, because these would be significantly lower emissions. So that's number one. Number two, also more efficient. So their cost of production is much lower than, again, the subcritical plant. So from a merit order perspective, they will be able to produce power at a lower fuel cost than the traditional plants.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Do you have other questions on the floor? Yes.
Mr. Asang, so on the cement industry, mm-hmm. I'm not too sure if my number is correct, but your first half, I recall, is about, is it 600 or 800? And now you're doing at 1.3 billion. So I'm just curious what happened in the third quarter. It looks like it's a huge.
First quarter was about close to 400. The second quarter was close to 500. So it was actually much higher than that. So it's close to 800.
In the third quarter, you should have it's the nine amounts is 1.3.
Yeah, the actual bottom line contribution to AD was around 410 in the third quarter.
What's your view of the industry in terms of the production, cement production growth? Is it 21 million tons a year, or how fast is it growing and how much is it growing?
CEMAF, the industry association, actually went on record earlier this month and claimed that the industry growth was around 10% for the first three quarters of the year. And if you follow that line from around 24 million last year, that takes you to about 27 million tons of demand for the industry by the end of the year.
So then it's 10% higher than the historical trend. It's way higher.
Yeah, well, it's actually a slight moderation from the fourth year 2015 improvement on 2014. That was about 15%, 14%. It seems to have moderated a bit, but it's still in double-digit levels, which is certainly quite impressive in any respect.
Sir, what are your preparations for this report that the administration is going to spend less than 3 million pesos in the next up to 2022 on the infrastructure in terms of capacity expansion and JVs or anything that would boost your participation in the industry?
I think it's fair to say that clearly the group is taking putting a lot of attention to see how we can at least keep market share. If market share continues to grow, the market continues to grow at this double-digit level, no? But for one thing, we're taking a hard look first at what we currently have. So we took over the assets from the barge. A lot of improvements are being made as we speak, just to get more output out of our current facilities. I think some studies are currently in place to ensure that we can actually grow with this market, with the expected market pace. So yeah, I think at the right time we'll probably tell you more. But for the moment, all we can say is we're taking a hard look at how we can ensure we can at least maintain our production growth through that of the market.
Sir, you seem to be growing at like 400 million per quarter, so should I expect, should I just have that 400 every quarter such that I have like 1.6 this year?
Well, we're not growing by 400. 400 more or less
is
the
actual net income per quarter.
There are a lot of other factors, right? I mean, we have to see where prices will go. And of course, hopefully our production also, efficiencies also improve. So, I mean, I don't think we can guarantee that it will be the same results every quarter.
And your market share, lastly, your market share, are you number two?
Roughly 25%, maybe a bit less.
Are you number two? Nationwide.
Nationwide.
Number two. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina. Do you have other questions from the floor? Yes.
Good afternoon, Rich from VPA Securities. I just have two questions. One is on Aboitiz Land. I understand that your revenues were flat for the quarter, and EBITDA was down because of some system upgrades. But what would the EBITDA look like, excluding those what you would say are sort of one-offs?
They're not really one-offs, sir. They're
sure.
Investment in organization, etc. Probably the range of about 150 million add back.
Okay, thank you. And then just one more question from Union Bank. I noticed the yields sort of expanded quite a bit, which sort of drove your NIM expansion as well. Was it primarily because you saw yield expansion across the loan segments, or is it because I noticed your liquid assets actually went down year on year? Is it because the denominator shifted to more higher yielding loans?
It's mainly because more loans have been funded. In other words, more loans are outstanding. As you know, the loans are higher than the securities.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. We have time for a few more questions. Is there any more? Are there any more questions to the floor? Yes. Can we?
Concerned about the oversupply in the power. Could you add color to this? What's its implication on your side?
Sorry, could you say that again? I couldn't quite hear
you. There was a news that you were concerned about the oversupply of the power industry sector, and you were concerned a bit about the... May you add color to this on what implications it will cause?
Yeah,
no problem.
That came for me, sorry.
that's came for me, so I might as well answer it. And the oversupply is applies really to Mindanao, right? We feel that there is a rather large overhang there. There's over 1,000 megawatts of power that's coming on, right? And already the reserves are very, very high in Mindanao. So plants are being run at suboptimal efficiencies, right? So obviously it's of concern to everybody. We're, in our case, we're fortunate that we were the first movers, and therefore we're essentially fully contracted. But Mindanao's got lots of growing to do to eat into the oversupply. There's an oversupply for several years.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes, Christina, you have a question.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Just ask her.
Just on the outlook for banking, it looks like next year interest rates are going to rise. Are they rising already, interest rates? And there's not much room for trading in GS, but loan growth is strong. So where do you expect most of the income to come from retail lending, corporate lending? The yields are improving, so it's the core business that's going to drive earnings.
It has always been our, for the past 3 years, it has been our strategy to increase the proportion of our consumer loans because they have better yields. And we have succeeded in doing that, we believe. So, yes, the loan rates are going up, perhaps, but not really, not substantially, the expected Fed moves to increase interest rates, which we follow, have not really materialized yet, but it's in the horizon. But for our, in our case, we do have this strategy of emphasizing our consumer loans. So if you ask, where is the future income of the coming? It will be from recurring income, from accrual income, from loans, and they will be very substantially from the consumer loans. Of course, we have a balanced mix of loans, so we will continue to have corporate loans, consumer loans, but we will continue to also drive our consumer loans.
Yeah.
So
is fintech acquisition within your strategic picture? Fintech acquisition?
Acquisition by the bank.
Yeah, any private equity.
We do not have a current plan to acquire a fintech. We do know that digital technology or digital banking perhaps is a promise of the future, and we are looking at ways that we can expedite our own internal developments towards that direction. But if you're talking of acquisition, we are not considering any particular acquisition of fintechs today.
Thank you, sir. I have a question on the system loss reduction that was mandated, and it seems to be very troublesome for Meralco. Is this something that's applicable to you?
So the systems loss cap is applicable to all distribution utilities. The privately owned ones have a stricter threshold of 8.5%. And as you saw in one of our slides earlier, all our distribution utilities are below that cap of 8.5%.
But I understand you're reducing it.
Excuse me?
Regulators are reducing it to 5.
I can't comment on what regulators are
doing. It's not mandated yet.
It's not mandated.
It's just, just talked about in the Senate. There's no actual mandate.
There's no actual mandate.
There's no actual mandate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir, last on the property. Sir, do you have a hotel portfolio already?
No.
So what are your thoughts about the opportunities in the hotel business?
Honestly, we're not even located at this point.
Oh, why? Given the tourism
We're focusing on projects that we've planned already, the residential, the commercial, and we're not at this point looking at that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Christina. I think we have a room for about, yes, Jomar.
This is for Benigo. With the new investment for the meat processing plant, what would be the impact as far as your margins are concerned or for the business itself? Because it's is it a higher margin business relative to that, or is it a more stable margin business?
Both. It's there because as we increase our sow level, it's harder and harder to sell all live, right? So we wanted to put something that was another outlet for us to be able to sell the meat. So number one is for the volume. Number two is the retail market. Not the retail market. You have retail, you have cuts, and then you have live, right? Meaning frozen. Frozen wholesale. The frozen wholesale market is a more stable market. So yes, it's there for two reasons. One is so that when the fluctuations happen, right, we have 50% of our volume on a more stable product moving forward, because from 14,000 we'll probably expand again. We will continue to expand, right? So the growth will be much larger in the future. So we need more stability and in margins, in total margins.
Thank you, Jomar. I think we have a room for one more question. Yes, Ryan.
Hi, again for Cesar Union Bank. One figure which I didn't see in the presentation is NPL. What is the current net NPL ratio for Union Bank as of 3Q?
Less than 1%.
I see. And what is the cover ratio?
More than 100%.
More than 100. And then moving forward, so there will be some capital implementations by the BSP and the ECL and also LCR. What is the status of Union Bank for the ECL implementation? Do you think you're 100% ready for that?
You're referring probably to Circular 855, which
yes,
is dovetails with the ECL. As far as that circular is concerned, we have almost completed all of the requirements, like coming with the policy and that sort of thing. We're now into building the risk rating methodologies and models, and the challenge there is getting data, because as you know, it requires a lot of data. We think we will be able to meet the deadlines. We have asked the BSP to allow us to match the timing of the completion of the last requirement of the Circular 855 with a requirement for ECL in BFRS 9, which is due on January 1st of 2018, I believe. So yes, we will be able to do that.
And lastly, can you comment about the trading game moving forward? Because Union Bank has a very strong treasury department historically. Can we say that there is really a strategic shift towards going to the core business of loan growth and moving away from a trading portfolio in the future?
Yes, definitely we have shifted our strategy. We are now on accrual income. We are heavily accrual income. If there has been trading gain in the last quarter, it is a byproduct, an incident of a bigger purpose, which is to support the growth in our loan portfolio by selling the held to collect securities.
And my last question is, what is the branch expansion plan moving forward? What has it been for 2016, and what is it for 2017 and 2018?
Okay, there will not be a major increase. We will continue to have additional branches, but it will no longer be at the same rate as the growth in the past, because we have found other ways of maximizing the reach. For example, we have this plan, which is now ongoing, to
double the number of relationship managers per branch. So you can really have the same number of branches, yet double your manpower. And then we tied up with PetNet, you probably heard about that.
Yes.
And we're using them also to help generate the business. So yes, we will continue to grow, but not as much as we did before. The growth will probably be in terms of more relationship managers and also digital banking.
Okay. And could you provide a brief comment on the PetNet synergy? What does it mean for Union Bank?
It's a means for us to extend our reach to areas that we cannot first physically cover. So that's really it. It's an extender.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. So, I think with that, we're going to now close our Q&A. So, in closing, let me just remind everyone in this room today to complete and leave behind the feedback forms that we've left on your tables. Our waiters are going to go around to collect them. And before I close, also, I'd like to recognize other members of the team who contributed to the preparation of the materials that we used for you today. From AEV Corporate Finance, I'd like to thank Rendell Nang for GN Power. For banking, I'd like to thank Lea De La Cruz of Investor Relations. And of course, for Pilmico, I'd like to thank Gail for the materials that we have today. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to our presenters. This wraps up our briefing for today. Now, our presenters are going to now proceed to our media briefing in another room. Meanwhile, please enjoy the refreshments that we have prepared for you outside. So if you have further questions on our new projects, I'd like you to know that Lisa and Beverly will be left behind in this room. But please let them eat, okay? So, all right. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you again next year.